You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we welcome and greet all of you listeners, wherever you may be. If you're listening on a computer, out in your car, wherever you may be in part of the world, some of this has gone around the world, we know. We welcome you to the program, as we do every week, and we're honored to be here with you, to be part of WCNO Radio. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1, and Don and I are sitting across the desk from each other, and we co-pastor a church here in Sturt. We have for 24 years now, Pastor Donna, and God gave us a name way back out of Revelation 19:10 about the spirit of prophecy, and we do a lot of prophetic things on this program. If you've been listening to us for 19-plus years, we do a lot, don't we, Pastor Donna? So we're honored to be here with you. So we hope you have ears to hear what the Spirit of God may tell you today as we look at some things. And so we're going to release ourselves to the Lord.
Amen.
And you listeners, release yourself and say, I have prophetic ears to hear what's being said. I can apply this to my life or even today to see the things that God's wanting us to know. Because God has many patterns in the Word going all the way back, and we see how things repeat. Like I think about what it says in Ecclesiastes over there, that which was will be again. And so God repeats things, and there's patterns. I love patterns in the Bible, and so many of them are prophetic to this day. Even the seven appointed times in Leviticus 23 over there that God put in place for Israel, those are all prophetic to the future also about Yeshua, our Messiah. And so we glean from those things, and we learn, and we can find the timing and things that God wants us to know even for the days that we live in right now. Hallelujah. So we're honored to be here with you. As we say, we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. And we'll just turn this over to the Lord. We thank you, Father, for being here with us in Yeshua's name. And so give us the words to say that you want us to say at this particular time. Thank you for the listeners. And we give you praise and honor and glory. And we just say what, Donna?
Amen. Amen.
All right, you got a couple of announcements I'm sure to make about today and maybe some other things. So
we'll
just turn that over to my precious wife across the table here from me.
Thank you, Lord.
Or the desk, I should say. It's not a table.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, I just want to mention that we do have services here in Sturt, Florida, every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Today we have a special prayer this afternoon at 3 o'clock, from 3 to 6 o'clock, 3 in the afternoon until 6 p.m. So come if you want to pray. We need to be praying all the time. We need to be praying. We're going to be praying for the inauguration. And
we're 9 days away from that now. Yep.
By the Spirit, we're very close, right? And also we need to pray for what's going to happen on the 15th, which is Sunday, right? Is that Sunday the 15th?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen with these 70 nations having to do with the UN and
coming together,
affecting Israel.
Yeah.
Need to pray about that. A lot of things to pray about. So much. So I want to mention that we do have service every Friday night at 7 p.m. We have Shabbat service, and we have spend time in the Word, studying the Torah portions and whatever else the Lord lays on our heart, sharing. And, you know, we're all sharing and to be able to reveal the things that the Lord is showing us and to pray for each other. And we also have a communion and worship the Lord. Amen. That's Friday night. And then we come together on Saturday. And we do different things on Saturday, but it's normally at 4 o'clock. But today it will be at 3 o'clock.
Thank you,
and
Lord.
Then we have service on Sunday at 10 a.m. Amen. So come worship God with us, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Hallelujah.
And I want to give you our phone number. We're in Stuart, Florida, right on Canner Highway. We're actually facing Canner Highway in the Monterey Plaza. Right next door to Gold's Gym. Listen to me. Right
Gold's Gym used to be in there one time.
There, right next door to Save-A-Lot food store. We'll be all right.
It's called Save-A-Lot now,
Save-A-Lot,
right?
Save-A-Lot, right. Amen.
We're going to save a lot.
And so, that's right. We need to all be out sharing and saving a lot of people, because, you know, a lot of people are lost in the world and need to be saved.
The days are getting short.
The days are getting short. So we'll give you our telephone number. So if you have a pen or pencil, you can write it down. I also want to mention, too, that we're on the internet, so you can go back and you can listen to this broadcast again. And WCNO, it's WCNO.com. And you can, you know, I have it downloaded on my phone. I can listen to it anytime I want, you know, yeah. When I'm out walking or anything, I can listen to WCNO. So you can go there and you can listen to this program again. Just go to Saturday and look for the program guide. And look for Raising the Standard with Pastor Jean and Donna Hilton. And you can listen to... there's a number of programs on there you can listen to.
Yep.
Amen. So that's WCNO.com. And our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So we greet all you folks and brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I just thought about Roscoe and Audrey Walks over on Andros Island in the Bahamas with their church, the Temple of God. I'm sure they're listening, so we welcome them to the program as well, and we continue to pray for them as that building's going up over there, the Temple of God, and it's going to be a beautiful place for God in that day when it's done and all.
They're building the church, the Temple
beautiful
of God.
Beautiful place it's going to be, right?
The walls are up.
That's right.
So next thing is going to be the roof.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's right.
He's putting pillars in there right now.
That's right.
To make it strong. You know, that building didn't lose... You know, the Bahamas went through devastation.
That's right.
And many buildings aren't even on the foundation anymore. They
just
were here
a slab
for
left,
a couple of months, for a month with us. And yeah, a lot of just the slab, and a lot of the churches were, some of the churches were destroyed. Their pews were out in the ocean. Their roofs came off. A lot of people lost their homes or lost their roof. But you know what? The Temple of God, not one brick was moved.
Not one thing happened.
Not one brick was moved.
Right.
He said there was another church being built.
Yeah.
And some of the bricks were.
Yeah,
knocked down.
See, a lot of those buildings weren't put up the right way. Roscoe puts things up
so
the right way.
Doing it the right way.
Doing it the right way, and it's going to withstand anything that the enemy may try to bring.
Well, the Bible talks about those things that are built on sand.
That's right.
You know, we need to build everything on
the rock.
The rock, solid,
which is Yeshua.
God.
Hallelujah.
That's our lives.
That's right.
Mainly, but when we do it, when we do something like making a building, we need to do it to the best of our ability.
Need
to make it strong. So it will last, amen? So it will last. So we just praying for them, because the pillars are going up to hold the roof, and next thing will be the roof will be going up.
Hallelujah.
Awesome. Praise God.
That's right. So we need finances to finish that. While we're talking about this, if you are led to send them some finances to help them buy the supplies and all to do the rest of this, they would be greatly appreciated. And I'll tell you one thing, you're putting some funds in some good soil over there. Mm-hmm. They're doing a great work for the Lord. So if you'd like to do that, you can just make out a check to us, the Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Mail it to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And our zip is 34995, and mark it for the Temple of God. And we will be more than honored to get that to them. Amen?
That's right.
So praise God for that.
On Andros Island.
On Andros Island, the Bahamas. Well, we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. As we mentioned, we're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And just we've covered a lot of things over the years. And you know, if you heard us, we talk about a lot of things about the Hebraism, the Jewish history, all the prophetic things that God has put in place. And I would just remind people that are listening that this book I have before me is a Jewish document. And so the barometer of the entire world is revolving around a little nation over there in the Middle East called Israel. And this is God's land. And so anybody that lifts a finger against him, they're poking him in the eye, and it will not be tolerated.
That's going to happen on Sunday at that.
Yeah, they're trying to come against Israel.
Gathering that they're going to have.
That's right.
With the United Nations, these 70 different nations.
But they can try all they want. But it's interesting, it's
God's
70
word.
Nations, isn't it, honey? Because we've talked about this a lot when God spoke from Mount Sinai over in Exodus chapter 19 over there. Well, the Jewish people with their heritage and their history, what they know, there were 70 known languages at that particular time. And so they all heard, but only one nation agreed to say, Lord, we'll do what you ask. And that was Israel, but we know they failed as well. So, and then God honored that so much that later on when Tabernacles was put into place, during Tabernacles and all, God had them offer 70 bulls during the time of Tabernacles, those 7 days plus the eighth day, which is Simchat Torah. And so they suffered a lot before that, but anyway, they allowed 70 bulls to be sacrificed to represent those 70 nations that God wanted to come into the kingdom of God. He wants all the world to come, not just us or the Israel. He wants the whole world to come. So here we got 70 nations gathered together to poke God in the eye, or try to poke God in the eye. But it'll never happen because God won't let that happen. Amen.
Yeah, Israel blessed the 70 nations.
That's right. Israel blessed them. That's right.
And so when we bless even those who don't come against us many times, you know, because, you know, they did according to what God said. They didn't, you know, they don't want to fight. They want just what God has told them to have. They're not trying to take the world.
Nope.
No. Just the land that God has given
them.
That
little piece of property they have over there belongs to them. That's right.
But others are trying to take that from them.
Mm-hmm.
But God is going to, God always wins out. God's
sure
going
to
win. Well, you can't fight God.
And we talk about the pupil of God's eye. You know, that's the key part
right.
of the eye. And so we don't want to poke him in the eye in any way, shape, or form.
That's
and so
right.
I keep praying for the church at large. A lot of the church doesn't think that Israel means much anymore. They think that we've replaced Israel and that we've been, you know, we're more than grafted in. They think we've taken over. Now, what the promises that was given to Israel is done away with, and they're all given to us now. And that's called replacement theology and also anti-Semitism. And so we hate those things. So I continue to pray for the church at large that they will all come together in one agreement that God's land is the nation. It's not a state. It's the nation of Israel, and it belongs to him. He gave it to a group of people, and it will be there at the very end, no matter what man tries to do. The presidents of different countries, the kings and all that, they cannot change God's word and what he said he's going to have done. And so we got to look to that. So just keep that in mind, that Israel is so important in these last days. And so thank you, Lord, that our new president is going to be put in place here in about a week now, is for Israel 100%, and that's what we got to keep in mind. We need to be for them. They're a great ally, and we should support them, and we know they'll support us as well. So we want to keep Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in prayer all the time, that he'll make the right decisions and all over there, according to the word of God. And we've heard also that he's accepted Yeshua as his Messiah, and that'll help him a great deal if he gets into the word of God. And so we just thank God for what he's doing with Israel, and as we hang in there with them, we will be a part of it. And we're fortunate. I'm a Gentile, and so is Donna. But we've been grafted in to the nation of Israel. We're the unnatural branch that was connected up with the natural branch, and so we're honored to be a part of them. We love them so much. I love the Jewish people. They're so important to God. And so we just lift them up, and Lord, we thank you for what you're going to accomplish with all of them. We pray for all those that want to make Aliyah to Israel, that can be manifested and occur somehow, some way, that they'll get over to the land that you want them to be in. So we release that word, that they'll be stirred and activated to do what you ask them to do at this time. And so we give you praise and honor and glory for all that you're going
to do. I want to read Psalm 47 here
all right,
before we
right
start.
Ahead.
It's not very long. It's only 9 verses. Get a drink of water, baby doll.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord. It says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph.
Thank you, Lord.
God is, we need to shout. We need to pray. And we need to be praying constantly in these days.
That's right.
For the Lord Most High is terrible. That means he's great. He's awesome.
It's awesome, yeah.
He is a great king over all the earth. You see right there, the King James gives you the definition of the word terrible. He's a great king.
That's right.
He shall subdue the people under us. Thank you, Lord. And the nations under our feet. Thank you, Lord. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loveth. Selah. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. That's warfare. Sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princesses of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. He is the King. He is the King. He's a great King. He's going to take care of the heathen, and he's going to take care of those who come against
Israel.
That's
right. It's all through the Word of God, isn't
it? He's going to take care of it. We just are to pray, and we're to what? We're to shout.
That's right.
We're to sing. We're to blow the trumpet.
That's right.
Praise Him. Praise the Lord, because
mm-hmm.
He is the King of the whole earth.
Sure is.
You know, when things are happening, they're all over the earth, but we have to come right back to the Lord, because He is the one who's to be greatly praised. Even the beginning of Psalm 48, I love this one. People sing this song. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised.
That's right.
In the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. See, they want to take away Jerusalem.
Yeah.
They want to take Jerusalem away from them. But that is the city of God. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, that's Jerusalem, on the sides of the north, the city of the great King.
That's right.
Thank you, Father.
If you've ever been to Israel, you can go up on the Mount of Olives like I did several times, the two times I was there, and you can look over the city and look out there and just stand there and just be quiet, and you can just sense the presence of God, because this is his home. This is the place that He gave. All the saints of God are going to be there, Jew and Gentile together. It's incredible just to think about what He's put in place. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, I was going to talk about a couple of things here, if we got time. You know, we just went through Hanukkah, and there was a couple of things that we never talked much about. I thought was kind of important, and it's revealed a lot in the book of Haggai and part of Ezekiel. I thought we might share a little bit with that. If you want to open up your Bible to to Haggai to start with, let's look at a couple things in this little book. It's not very long. It's got two chapters. But I tell you, it's got a lot to be said in this. And a lot of things that's going to be talked about in this. This happened about 300 and I wrote a note in my Bible. Yeah, 360 years prior to Hanukkah being put in place. But we're going to see some dates that revolve around Hanukkah. This is interesting, which this means Hanukkah came in the future from all this. But we see here in Haggai, and by the way, Haggai's name in the Hebrew means festive. God was telling we should be joyful and festive because we belong to the Lord and be in His presence. Well, anyway, in verse 2 of chapter 1, the Lord says, He says, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people, they say this, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Remember, it was devastated, and they came out of captivity, and they kind of drug their feet, and it was not being established like God wanted to be started and to be finished on time. And it even tells us over here when it was finished and all that. In fact, chapter 2, verse 18 tells us this, consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the ninth month. This is the month of Kislev. This, at evening, it would become the first day of Hanukkah in the future. Even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. This is a clue to the millennial kingdom as well, when that temple will be rededicated. Glory be to God. During tabernacles and following after that, we'll see this, and we'll show you this here today if we've got time. Even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. So at evening on this day right here would become the first day in the future of Hanukkah. That's very key. So the people said, well, it's not time to rebuild. But God said, yes, it is. And so they didn't. And so He warns them. He's down here in verse 5 of chapter 1. He says, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but you have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes, because they'd forgot about the things that God wanted done was more important than the things they had and all that. But if they would obey him, then all their needs would have been met. Amen? Now I want to go over to the last verse in chapter 1, verse 15 says, in the 24th day of the sixth month, now this month is the month of Elul. So this is just prior to this, in the second year of Darius the king. So this is showing you when this time, when all this happened. It's in the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of Darius the king. Then we go into chapter 2. Then he jumps out to the seventh month, which is the next month. In the seventh month, in the 24th day. Well, if you know your Jewish appointed times, this would be Tishri 21, which is the last day of Tabernacles, and the next day of Simchat Torah. The 24th day of the month came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, and then he asked him in verse 3, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? See, a lot of people came out of the captivity, those 70 years, and they lived long enough, and they saw the glory of the first house, and now they see how bad it was torn down and what happened with all of it as the Babylonians destroyed it. So he asked us, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? There was a few there. And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison? I'll say it again. Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? So what they were doing, they hadn't done anything, and if they kept in mind what happened in the first temple, how it was destroyed, they should put this in their heart. He says, is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Well, it was nothing. It was not nothing back in that time. But what they were looking at in this day, there was nothing being done. Nothing was being restored or rebuilt. Verse 4 says, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua. Joshua was the high priest, the son of Josedech, the high priest. And be strong, all you people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. So he says, let's get to work and rebuild this temple. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, this is in verse 5, so my spirit remaineth among you. And he says, fear ye not. Verse 6, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. This is mentioned twice in this little book, okay? In fact, I'll just read that one. In chapter 2 still, it says right here in verse 21, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. So it's mentioned two times, so it's important. Now we go to verse 7 in chapter 2. And I will shake all the nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. This is out of Genesis 49:10. This is when God said that there'll be a scepter rise out of Shiloh. This is talking about the Messiah. He's the desire of all nations. Is he your desire? Are you listening here today? Is he your desire to see him in all of his glory? Well, we're getting close to that. But we must maintain our walk in holiness and righteousness before him, and then we'll have the privilege to see him in all of his glory one day. So he says he's going to shake all the nations and the desire of the nations. And then verse 8 says, the silver is mine, that's a fact, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And I like verse 9. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord. He's referring to, I believe, the temple that will be built during the millennial kingdom is going to be greater than the one they had before.
So they're going to have great desires.
Great desire.
Great desire to see it.
That's right.
To see it again,
that's
actually,
right.
Because they saw it once, to see it again.
That's right. So the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the former. Mm-hmm. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord. Now, verse 10, in the 24th day of the ninth month. Now we're in the month of Kislev, okay? This is
Hanukkah month.
At evening on this day became the first day of Hanukkah, Kislev 25. And as I mentioned, all this was spoken 360 years approximately before Hanukkah was ever put in place. But we have some patterns here to look at. So it says in 10, in the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest concerning the law or the Torah, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the answer is no. And the priest answered and said no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? Well, the answer is no again. And the priest answered and said, shall it be unclean? Then answered Haggai and said, so is the people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. They weren't doing the right things according to the Torah. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. Since those days were, when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press vat, for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. So there was a lack in the city.
A lack.
I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all your labors of your hands, yet you turn not to me, saith the Lord. He brought all this on them to have them to wake up and to return to Teshuva, to come back to the Lord, get to work, rebuild God's house that he wanted to be built for his presence at that time. Now, verse 18. Consider now from this day, what day is this? The 24th day of the month of Kislev, and upward from the 24th day of the month, of the ninth month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. So this is when they started laying the temple. It was on the first day which in the future would be Hanukkah. So this was on the 24th day of the ninth month. Then verse 19, is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth, from this day will I bless you. So when he said, when you get to work and start building my house, then I'm going to bless you with all this. Your vines are going to produce, the fig trees are going to produce, the pomegranates, the olive, everything's going to begin to produce. Now verse 20, again the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, the same time, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. We read that a while ago. Now, verse 22, I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. This is all referring, what? To the kingdom of God when it comes. I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow, hallelujah,
the chariots
and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. Now 23, the last verse in Haggai. In that day, this is talking about in the future, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Now Zerubbabel is a pattern of the Messiah that's going to come. Zerubbabel, he was a pattern of the Messiah and his authority. And then it talks about a signet here. The signet ring was a symbol on a person's hand, a king or whoever it would happen to be, of what? Of total authority. So we see what God's showing here with this little book called Haggai. It's very important. So all this was prophesied 360 years, approximately, before Hanukkah was put in place. But these dates revolve all around this. This is very interesting. Even in chapter 2, verse 1, about Tishri 21, the last day of Tabernacles. Now, I said all this for one thing. Now I want to show what's going to happen in the kingdom. And we didn't talk about this on the program before. I want to go over now to Ezekiel with you, to chapter 43.
But doesn't it show us, even though we know that Hanukkah is not one of the main feasts.
Not appointed time by
but
God.
But we know it's connected to the Feast of Tabernacles. And here it was already prophesied before it came to pass.
That's right.
So God knew in his foreknowledge, just like he knows everything.
Sure does.
In his foreknowledge. He knew these people, just like he knows us, before we were ever put into our mother's womb.
That's
he
right.
He knew us before the foundations
of the world.
Of the world.
That's right.
So we were always there in God's mind, and so was the Zerubbabel and all these other people, and God knew this was all going to happen before Hanukkah was put in place. So when God already had Hanukkah, already he had it figured out.
He knew what was going to happen, didn't he?
He knew how to take care of
it. He wasn't going
to
be fooled.
He wasn't fooled by. Yeah. He wasn't caught off guard by what happened. You know, he knows everything. God knows. It shows us God knows everything.
So as we study this out, we find out with Antiochus that happened. Okay, during this time it was established as Hanukkah. What happened? He went in and stopped all the Jewish observance of everything that they were doing, the sacrifices, the Torah readings, circumcising their boys, all the things that God had put in place by the Torah. He stopped all that. When did he stop it? On the first day of Tabernacles. We proved this on the previous verse, or not only verses, but also the programs we've been teaching on. So he stopped it on the first day of Tabernacles. So we have a real connection here. Well, now if we go over where I took it, Ezekiel, this is going to return and show us.
It's a picture of Yeshua that he wanted. His plan, the enemy's plan, was to stop the birth of Messiah.
That's right.
Was to stop the birth of Yeshua.
That's it.
That was his plan all along. He was gonna interrupt. He wanted to interrupt God's plan. Well,
that's
you
right.
know, he tried, and he caused a lot of problems. Satan always causes us a lot of problems, even today in our lives. You know, but God's plan is God's plan, and we have to stay on His plan.
That's right. There's no other plan.
And you know, his timetable, even looking at today and what's happening today in the world and in our country, mm-hmm. you know, and all of the friction and all the fighting and the people who hate President to be Trump, you know, all these things. But we have to know that God puts people in place. He says he puts people in place.
He raises up kings and he brings them down, doesn't he?
That's right.
Sure do. So we're in chapter 43 here. Now I want to show you a couple things here I think is interesting. Verse 1 says this, "Afterward, he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east." We're talking about, this is going to be about the east gate. This is the gate, the golden gate that Yeshua is going to come through when he comes back to this earth, or as it tells us over in Acts chapter 1 over there, when he returns literally to the earth at his second advent. And it says, "And behold," verse 2, "the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east." That's going to happen. "And his voice was like the noise of many waters." Sounds like the book of Revelation, chapter mm-hmm. 1. "And the earth shined with his glory. And it was according to the appearance of the vision, which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the vision that I saw by the river Kibar. And I fell on my face." Now, verse 4. "And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is" what? "Toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house." Now, if you read the beginning of Ezekiel, around there, around chapter 9 or 10, it says the glory of God lifted off the threshold because of the wickedness that was going on in that temple. Remember that, Pastor Donna? There was graffiti written on the walls. They were worshiping Tammuz, all this stuff. And so here, this is interesting. It shows the glory of God is going to come back. Well, when will this be? This is in the millennial kingdom. So who's going to bring the glory back? Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah.
So when we're reading this, we're not just reading a story about Ezekiel in a time that happened a long time ago.
That's right.
We need to see Jesus in every single
right.
verse, every single word, every single scripture, because it's talking about the glory of the Lord. And who is the glory of the Lord? Yeshua
Jesus
is.
That's right. Now we got some other clues in this chapter that we're in, 43, about the dedication of the temple. We've talked about this some on the program in the past. So let's read a few verses here. I'm going to start now in verse 18 of chapter 43, and let's read this. "And he said unto me, Son of man, thus saith the Lord God, these are the ordinances of the altar in the day when they shall make it to offer burnt offerings thereon and to sprinkle blood thereon." So they're going to dedicate and they're going to reestablish what? The altar in Jerusalem, okay, in the temple. The one that's going to, the millennial temple will be built. "And thou shalt give to the priest, the Levites, that be of the seed of Zadok, which approach unto me, to minister unto me, saith the Lord God, a young bullock for a sin offering. And thou shalt take of the blood thereof, and put it on the front horns of it, and on the four corners of the saddle, and upon the border round about. Thus shalt thou cleanse and purge it." He's talking about the altar here now. "Thou shalt take the bullock also of the sin offering." Now, see another, the bullock, the burnt, I'll say it again. "Thou shalt take the bullock also of the sin offering, and he shall burn it in the appointed place of the house without the sanctuary. And on the second day," here's day two, "they shall offer a kid of the goats without blemish for a sin offering, and they shall cleanse the altar as they did cleanse it with the bullock. And when thou hast made an end of cleansing it, thou shalt offer a young bullock without blemish and a ram out of the flock without blemish. And thou shalt offer them before the Lord, and the priest shall cast salt." We've been talking about salt on this program, we've done it. shall cast salt upon them, and they shall offer them up for a burnt offering unto the Lord. 7 days. Now here we go. How long is Hanukkah? Well, we know it's 8 days. We're going to find out. Here's the first 7 days. 7 days shalt thou prepare every day a goat for a sin offering. They shall also prepare a young bullock and a ram out of the flock without blemish. 7 days shall they purge the altar and purify it, and they shall consecrate themselves. Hallelujah. That's what they'll have to do. That's what's going to happen in the future. And when these days are expired, it shall be that upon the eighth day, here's the eighth day, how long is Hanukkah? 8 days. How long is Tabernacles? 8 days. Let me read again. And when these days are expired, it shall be that upon the eighth day and so forward, the priest shall make your burnt offerings upon the altar and your peace offerings, and I will accept you, saith the Lord God. This is a pattern here of the dedication of the temple. It's going to happen during the millennial reign in the millennial temple. And we have a clue with that over in Daniel 12:12. We talked about this where it says, blessed is he that comes to what? To the 1,335th day. This is the time that the altar and all is going to be dedicated in the millennial kingdom.
Just want to say something about verse 19.
Mm-hmm.
Because it specifies who the priests would be.
That's right.
It says, and thou shalt give to the priests, the Levites, that be of the seed of Zadok.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that, right there is important seed. The Lord gave me this word this year that we're to see and we're to seed. You know, we're to be a good seed, a righteous seed. That means the seed of Zadok was a righteous seed. This priesthood, the Zadok priesthood, they were the most righteous of the priests. You know, they had priests that were not righteous. They had priests that did the wrong things.
That's right.
And we read about that. You read through the Bible where there were priests that they weren't walking a holy life. But the Zadok priests, they sought holiness. And so that's why it says it specifies here the seed of Zadok, which would be from the righteous one. So we're from the righteous branch, right?
That's right.
So that God is speaking to us too, that we should be, because we're priests and kings, and we should be a priest like the Zadok priesthood.
Absolutely.
Was, which sought righteousness and holiness and did the right things according to God's word. So God specifies who is going to do certain things. And you know, God's only going to use those in this type of a situation with the holy things of God, and to He's calling forth people to be holy.
That's right.
And to be set apart, and to you know, to walk in love, and to walk to demonstrate it, and to walk in the fruit of the Spirit.
And do all the ordinances that God put in place.
Right, and that's right.
To separate the holy from the profane.
That's right. So this was very important.
It sure was.
Who was going to do these things.
Right. Now, another interesting thing about this during the millennial reign, over in chapter 46, I looked at this morning. Where do I want to go here? I want to start 46, verse 12.
Even if you go on and read chapter 44, it goes on and talks about the unrighteous,
that's
the uncircumcised.
Right.
Not only the uncircumcised in their flesh, but what about the uncircumcised in their heart?
That's it.
If their heart hasn't been circumcised, then you know what? Then they still, that means they still have sin in their heart.
Well, I was thinking here, Pastor, somebody might be thinking, we read all this, why would they be offering animal sacrifices in the kingdom? Well, I believe it shows that it's a, and we're going to see it in the scriptures here, there's a memorial to remember what Christ did for us. So in chapter 46, verse 12, listen to this. Now when the prince, I believe the prince might be, it might be King David, because he's going to come back and he's going to be a co-regent with Christ, shall prepare a voluntary burnt offering or peace offerings voluntarily, where it says voluntarily, unto the Lord. One shall then open him the gate that looketh toward the east again, and he shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offerings as he did on the Sabbath day, when he shall go forth, and after his going forth, one shall shut the gate. Now here's the key verse. Thou shalt daily prepare a burnt offering unto the Lord of a lamb of the first year without blemish. Thou shalt prepare it every morning. So they did that at the 9 o'clock sacrifice in the morning. They were required to do that every day at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. So the interesting thing here is that there's only one offering in this in the millennial kingdom. And thou shalt prepare a meat offering for it every morning, and with a part of an ephah and a third part of a hin of oil, to temper with the fine flour, a meat offering continually by a perpetual ordinance unto the Lord. That thus shall they prepare the lamb and the meat offering and the oil every morning for a continual burnt offering. You won't see one thing in here anywhere about the afternoon offering at 3 p.m. They only have one. Why? Because Jesus only died once for all of us.
So it's a free will offering.
It's a free will offering.
And it's a voluntary burnt offering, it
that's
says
right.
here.
Mm-hmm.
For what? For peace? It's a peace offering.
Peace offering,
voluntary,
yeah.
And right. unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. It says that verse 12.
Mm-hmm. So it's incredible to think about it, of all with the patterns. So all you ought to read this, starting in chapter 40 through the end of Ezekiel, and this is all referring to the period when the kingdom of God is being established on the earth in the future. And as we walk with the Lord, and one day we're going to either die and be resurrected out of the grave, or we'll be caught off the earth, we're going to be there and get to see all this being done at that particular time. And I had mentioned to you that over in Daniel, I'm going to flip over there real quick. If we go to Daniel chapter 12, the very last chapter in Daniel, we've mentioned this on here before, but I'll just read it again for you. And the things that Daniel said here. Chapter 12, of course, is referring to Jacob's trouble, the last 3.5 years of this time called the tribulation or Jacob's trouble. And verse 12 is the key verse that was referred to back here. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days. And we've talked about this before. This will bring us out, those extra 75 days will bring us out from the Day of Atonement when Christ comes back literally to the earth to the first day of Hanukkah. So this is very important to understand this. God has all this in place. And I don't understand why more people aren't teaching about this. We don't see this. We have to put the whole Bible together with all the things that the prophets wrote and all. And they didn't contradict one another. They fit together like a glove. And so we see all these wonderful things that God's revealing here. And so this 1,335 and 30 days is very important to show us about Hanukkah. And the verse before it, verse 11, reveals to us also what's going to happen at Purim and all that. And so these are all patterns to show us in details of what's going to happen at the very end when all this comes to pass when we're in the kingdom. I can't wait. It's going to be so exciting to be able to see all this. And the beauty is that if you study this out, and you read it for yourself, and you have the understanding of it, you won't be shocked when we get there to see. We say, wow, this is exactly what the Bible said was going to happen. And you can understand that now instead of all the guesswork that we're doing today. Prophets are guessing about this and guessing about that, saying this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And a lot of the stuff never happens. So are they really prophets? I don't know. Now, some of them are good, but a lot of them we hear are wrong. And so we got to go with the Word of God. I keep telling people, go back to the Bible. Look at it. God has a mystery in all this. Sometimes we have to dig a little bit, but he's going to show you some things if you're willing to do that to find out the truth. And the truth will make you free. And so I had to do that when I wrote my book that we talk about all the time here about the prophetic calendar and the pictures of the Messiah as revealed in the appointed times of the Lord, not of the Jews, as of the Lord. He gave it to the Jewish people to have it written down so we could learn from that as well. So this is an incredible chapter 12 here. And we have to, if we see these things, we can see that there's some things that God wants us to know. He tells us the time of the season. He shows us these things. All these appointed times are put in place for a reason. And so all these prophets on at different times touched on certain dates, like we just read there in Haggai. He touched on dates that we should understand what they're all about. And so we have to understand that. You know, I like chapter 12 of Daniel. Verse 1 says this, and at that time, well, this is the beginning now of what? Jacob's trouble, you know, mid-tribulation. Shall Michael stand up, the great prince? Who's Michael the prince of the Jews? For the children of thy people, Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. Same thing that Yeshua said in Matthew chapter 24. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, in God's book. Amen. So this is referring to these last 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble. Glory be. Now verse 2 says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. So there's going to be a resurrection, isn't there? some to everlasting life, those that walk righteous with God, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those are the ones that, after the millennial reign, they'll be resurrected, and they're going to be put in a body that'll live forever in pain and torment, as the Bible says. And they that be wise, that should be you and I, and teachers that teach the truth about the Word of God, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, he's told by the angel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Well, we're in the time of the end now. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. We have a lot of that, don't we? A lot of knowledge is being, not only knowledge with technology, but just think the knowledge that we're getting from the Word of God that has never been revealed. Because a lot of the things that happened years ago with prophetic things that people brought forth, this was before Israel became a nation in 1948. But now we're seeing all this. Verse 5, then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two other people, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on the other side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed with linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? How long is it going to be to the end? We ought to know. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand into heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half time. It's mentioned in Revelation the same way. A time is 1 year, times is plural, 2 years, and a half time is a half of a year, 3.5 years. And when he shall have accomplished, to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So when will this all start? When will this start? Well, there's going to be a resurrection and a catching away, I truly believe, at the beginning of Jacob's trouble, and then all this stuff is going to begin to start, okay? And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Well, we're in the time of the end now. Book of Revelation, open that up. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise, what, shall understand. That should be us, right, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days, and so on. We read verse 12, all right? Verse 13 is a good one. But go thou thy way, talking to Daniel, till the end, means the end of his life. For thou shalt rest, means he's going to die, and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. It's talking about resurrection. This is all revealed. So we have all the patterns, don't we? And so God's trying to tell us a little bit about all about the clues in the Bible about Passover. And then he takes us into the fall. We read all through the Torah and the Tanakh. He shows us, takes us into the month of Tishri, showing us all the things going to happen in Tishri. It's going to all end in 22 days at the very end. And he shows us all that. And then he gives us clues about Hanukkah, doesn't he? It's wonderful. Everything's here. He tells us about Purim, how its significance is going to be used and revealed during the time of Jacob's trouble. I got a chart in my book. It reveals all that. And so he gave us all this to understand. Now, one thing I want you to know, and I'm going to read this.
I have a question, too.
I want to read one thing. It's in Deuteronomy, one of my favorite verses. When I first got saved, this thing really, really stirred me up just thinking about it. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, easy to remember the words in the Bible. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Some things we won't know till we get there. But those things which are revealed to us, belong unto us. Listen to this now, and to our children. Doesn't say for 10 years or 100 years, it says forever, that we may do all the words of this law or the Torah. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
So what was your question, honey?
Oh, my question was, why 22 days? I know somebody else might be thinking that.
The 22 days?
How's it all going to be completed in 22 days?
Okay, well, think about Tishri 1. We've talked about this a lot. A lot is what? Rosh Hashanah, trumpets. Mm-hmm. That's resurrection. And then they're going to go 10 days to the Day of Atonement.
Right.
Okay, and that's the day assigned to Israel. And that's when he's going to come back, I believe, from the Bible.
Right.
Jesus will put his foot again on the Mount of Olives. All right?
Right.
Okay. And then we're going to go from that point, we're going to go out what? Day of Atonement, and then we go 5 days, and we come to what? We come to the Feast of Tabernacles, which is a pattern of the millennial kingdom being established. And it's got how many days? 8 days, Hanukkah has 8 days, but the key thing with it, the first 7 days are important because that's God's perfect number. So he's showing he's got a 7,000-year plan to restore mankind and the earth back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden. What do we have at Passover? Right after Passover, we have what? Unleavened bread. How long does it last? 7 days again. So God's showing us the time frame, how long this will be. So we're talking about 7,000 years from the time that Adam was on the earth. Well, we're almost to 6,000 years.
But the 22 days all happens within 1 month.
In 1 month.
In the month of Tishri, right?
Everything will come to an end at that point.
And it starts on the new moon, which will be the first of Tishri. Mm-hmm. It'll end on the 22nd of Tishri, which is the time of which is at the end of Tabernacles, the last day, which is called Rejoicing in the Torah.
And who's that? Yeshua.
And Yeshua is the Torah.
Amen.
And it takes me back to, he's the beginning and he's the ending. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He's the Aleph and he's the Tav.
He's everything in between.
The Aleph and the Tav is, and he's Olam. He's forever and ever. Forever.
That's right.
From beginning to ever to ending. There's no, he's eternity.
That's right.
He is eternity.
He'll never not be there, will he?
He's always been there, and he's always going to be there. He's eternity. God is eternity. The Godhead is eternity. It's Olam in the Hebrew, which means forever and ever.
Forever
before and forever after and forever now.
That's right.
He's forever. And then I also think, Pastor Gene, those 22 days, when we think about the Hebrew alphabet, which is the Aleph and the Tav, right? And the Tav, the first one represents God. And, you know,
the Aleph.
And the last one is pictured as a cross.
And it's
the finishing, right? Mm-hmm. It's the finish. So here we have 22 letters, 22 Hebrew letters.
It's good.
And within the 22 Hebrew letters is the Torah. The 22 letters, that is the Torah. Is the Torah, and where it's hidden, all the meanings and all the things that we're reading and we study. We should always see Yeshua in whatever we read, not always history or not always times, but if we look at Yeshua, try to see Yeshua in everything and God and what his plan is that he's going to finish all these things in 22 days. But look how many words it takes in our Bible to get those 22 days in, or even in the Hebrew Bible, how many, even in the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible. Now, you know, people, the Jewish people, if their eyes were open, they would see Yeshua in the first five books of the Bible. They would see him in the Torah. They
would see him in Genesis 1,
They would see him in the life of Joseph.
That's right.
Right? Joseph. God loved Yeshua so much he sent his only begotten son to this world, right?
That's right.
Joseph loved his son so much, more than any of the others. He made him this beautiful coat of many colors. You know, his brothers hated him. What's happening now? People hate Israel. People hate their, even families hate each other. They hate their brother. But what? He was put into a pit. He was taken out. He was put into jail. He was resurrected. He was put next to Pharaoh, the right hand side. Picture of Jesus. You know, he is at the right hand of God,
and it's all there.
And he is, and you know, and Joseph was given all power and authority. He was given that ring of authority. Yeshua has given has that authority. He's given us that authority. Mm-hmm. To rule and to reign and to do these things. So all these things, if people's eyes were open, Jewish people's eyes were open, they would see the plan of God in the Torah. But it takes all the prophets, and it takes the New Testament, and it takes all of this, the Book of Revelation, and
put it all together.
Read, put it all together. But if we're just looking to for history, see, history is important. We need history, but we also need to see, and we need to see Israel, how much God loves Israel. And then we need to see Yeshua, because there's different depths in the Word of God.
Right.
So as we go deeper, we want to get a revelation from the words that we're reading.
Absolutely.
And so I see that in those 22, God made it so simple. He brought it right back down to 22 days, right back down to the first month that he ever created the world, Tishri, right back down to the very beginning. And he says, I'm going to finish it in 22 days. So here were time has gone by.
So we got this whole book teaching us about the last 22
days.
And
God is bringing us back to the to the 22 letters in the alphabet. In the Hebrew alphabet, which create the whole Word of God. Torah. Those 22 letters
make up the whole Torah.
And so we have to come back to that. And so I think when that will, God will, if we come back and we start to see the layers that God has, it will simplify things for us. So we can see that, you know, God had a plan and he planned to finish it in 22 days and he's going to finish it in 22 days.
That's right. He sure will.
And even though we say, well, it's been so many years, it's been all these thousands of years, but yet he's going to come down to the last 22 days and the work will be finished.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Now, somebody asked us here not too long ago about, well, how do you know there was only one flask of oil or jar of oil when they came back and took Jerusalem back from the Persian,
when they had destroyed
the king, yeah, mm-hmm. Antiochus. Well, how do you know that? Well, you have to have witnesses. Well, Daniel chapter 8, if you listen to our program, proves
right
what it was. But we have two other witnesses. We have a book called Josephus' writings.
Josephus.
He was a historian who lived the time of Jesus, okay? And also, we have another book in the Bible that's mentioned. It's called the Book of Jasher. It's mentioned in there as well. So we have different things that we can bring together and see, and it proves what was said historically, okay, even though we don't have the exact words. But I think Daniel chapter 8 brings it pretty close.
And but so, if we take it to a spiritual understanding,
that's right.
If we ask the Lord for spiritual understanding and revelation, we will realize that we only need one flask of oil, and that
that's
we
right.
only need Yeshua.
That's
you
it.
Know, we don't need more than we don't need other gods.
That's right.
That's why we're turn away from other gods. Those
Amen.
other bottles of oil could represent other gods. But we only needed the Holy Spirit is one, you know, Ikad, one Father, one Son, and one Holy Ghost all together. It's the Godhead. So they only needed one, and that one that lit all the rest was called the servant candle, which if they would understand the servant candle, they would see that that candle is God, is Jesus.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna
Another
Hilton.
Another book we have.
Okay, we are running out of time.
One other book we have is the Maccabees that proves that there was one flask of oil.
That's right. Maccabees is in the Catholic Bible.
Right
or
ahead.
You can get it online, probably.
Amen.
Well, we're blessed to be here this this Saturday, and I hope you enjoyed this program and got some revelation from it. And we'll want you to get deeper into the things of God. Amen. So we have services here in Stuart, Florida on Friday night at 7 p.m. Today we will be coming together at 3 o'clock to pray.
Pray
for our nation and to pray for as
Israel.
We pray in the spirit. We pray prophetically.
That's right.
And so come and we don't just pray. We want others to enter in and to pray the heart of God. Because what's what
that's
we
right.
want? We want to pray the heart of God. So that's at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
And 3 to 6.
3 to 6. And then we have service tomorrow, Sunday morning at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
The phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And the name of the ministry, if you want to look it up, is Spirit of Prophecy. We're right on Cantor Highway in the Monterey Plaza.
That's right. So see, God doesn't want us in the dark, does he, honey?
No.
We're not like a bunch of mushrooms, okay? He wants us to know the truth. The truth will make us free. And all we have to do is dig in. So as we close this program every week, we tell you to look up because your redemption draweth nigh, closer every day. And so what do we say when we close, Pastor Don?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of Prophecy.